Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, where and when you may be listening to this. You are listening to the Better Living Daily Radio Show. I am your host, Karen Bemis, and today is, oh my goodness, I still haven't turned my May calendar in my office. Goodness gracious, I obviously don't look at that calendar very often, so you know what, I'm going to do that as we speak so that I can tell you, yes, it is. I know it is June 18th today, 2015. So there we go. Now for the whole 12 days left of the month, I'll be on June. Let's hope I'm a little better at it in July. Oh, but anyway, so I had posted earlier on all my social media that I was moving the show to 2 o'clock and then I'll explain why. Well, it sort of spurred the topic for today's conversation, which is optimism, mistakes, and redemption. This morning, one of my kids had his wisdom teeth taken out, and his appointment was at 9:45. Well, you know, I'm a pretty optimistic person, so I'm figuring, okay, 9:45 won't take more than an hour. We should be home within a half an hour after that, and I'll be good to go, right? However, yeah, you forget to take into account, I'm also a little ADHD, and you forget to take into account things like having to fill out paperwork, waiting because they're not ready for your child yet, and the surgery that was supposed to start at 9:45 didn't start until about 10:30. So then you realize you're sunk, so... There was not free Wi-Fi, and we've already used way more of our Wi-Fi than we should this month. So we're on rationing duty, if you will, for that. So it's just been, you know, one of those days where I'm trying to catch up and keep up. And yet I really did want to be on the air today. I felt like, for some reason, I felt like it was important. And, you know, it's just one of those challenges when you're like me and you're optimistic, when you're an optimistic ADHD person. It's amazing what you think you can do. And you always assume things are going to work out. And then, you know, you're just kind of amazed when they don't. And, you know, the upside to having this optimistic side is that generally I can find a silver lining in almost anything. And I've talked before about my father's cancer being a gift, and I know a lot of people have a really hard time with that, with me saying that, because they can't figure out how that, they can't see it that way. But, you know, and I've said this, like I said, in the six months between my father's diagnosis and his passing, we healed a lifetime of hurts. And at least that's what I felt like at the time. I thought we were done. I thought we had said it all, healed it all, and everything else. As my own children have grown up, I've been amazed at how much more I understand my father and what he was trying to teach me when I was growing up. And I get why he pushed me, and I get why he called me out when he felt he needed it, that I needed it, excuse me. And no, he did not always approach things very well, but I now understand his motives and his motivation so much better as I watch my sons become young men. And I feel the need on occasion to call them out. I feel the need on occasion to push them a bit. At times, it's actually brought me to tears. to understand how much he wanted me to succeed versus how much I just wanted him to leave me alone. And let me be me. Have you ever heard that before from a teenager? Just let me be who I am. Ooh, and I've had to process a lot of guilt and ask forgiveness over and over for being so difficult at times. And, you know, I said often guilt is a useless emotion, but yet it pops up and it's there. And if it does, you know, obviously there's something to deal with there. So I do. And, you know, I want my children to know what he wanted me to know. And that is that I love my children no matter what. But I'm going to be pushing them to do their best always, not for my sake, but for theirs. Because I sometimes wonder if I had been pushed a little more, if I had, you know, had this happen or that happen, if he'd won the war, won the battle, where I would be instead of where I am. You know, it's an interesting thought process. And, you know, we're all just doing the best we can anyway. But even though we're all doing our best, I think we can all do better as well. The sobering thing to realize how much your parent that you can no longer talk to face-to-face loved you and wanted nothing but success for you. And again, he didn't always approach it well, but I understand him more and more. He wanted to challenge his children to be better, and he believed that his children could be better. He wouldn't have challenged us to do it. The thing was, he was challenged to show his children and his wife the nobility behind his actions. And because he was challenged to do that, we really didn't comply very well, which only added to his challenge. So what a crazy messed up thing that is. Everybody has challenges. And we all handle them so differently. It's amazing to me that, you know, there's a lot of angry people out there. All you have to do is drive down the road at rush hour to realize how many angry people there are. You know, I don't drive in rush hour traffic very often, which is probably a good thing. My husband does it every day, and my husband is the most chill human being I know. That stuff does not get him ruffled. It gets me a little ruffled. But if I don't have to do it every day, I can sit back and kind of see it for what it is, and you see all of the crazy people trying to get home so fast and doing all that stuff. And quick hello to the ladies in the chat room. I see you in there. You know, I watch that stuff, and I know I used to be that person. Oh, my gosh. I would stew and simmer and let the anger boil over. I was the queen of road rage. I never would have gotten out and done anything about it, but I sure yelled at people and called them enough names in my day. I did it as a mom. You know, I would get so angry, and I'd scream and rant and rave like some kind of lunatic to get my way. And, you know, there's so many times I wish I could have taken that back, but, you know, I can't. And I wish I could erase the fear I saw in my children's eyes when my anger got the best of me and they were little. But I can't. I can't go back and undo the bad behavior. I can't unsay the mean things. I can only move forward, which for me means making sincere apologies for my behavior and being truly sorry for what I did. The sad thing is, it's effective. You know, bullying works in a lot of regards with children and family members because people are so afraid of your anger. But, you know, I don't want my family to be afraid of me. That's not what I want. You know, and the thing is, what I had to learn is that children never, and I mean never, make their parents angry. Children do not, and I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me, because they're like, my kids make me angry all the time. Well, you know what? Parents get angry over things that their children do. But the children are not responsible for the parent's response. The parent is responsible. And that is really a tough one for a lot of people to accept. It really and truly is. But think about it. Even if a child intends to make you angry and they succeed, is it really their fault? They're responsible for their behavior, but they're not responsible for your responses or reactions in that case. You know, that gives kids a lot of power, makes them amazingly powerful. But if there's a power, if they own the power in the household, who's running it? Who's running the household? Now, we've all seen that, where parents have given over the power to a two-year-old. But it's not the two-year-old's fault. It really is not. I mean, you have to think about that. And don't get me wrong, I still struggle with this one on occasion, especially in our house where homework is concerned. I have said the phrase, just do the work. Well, chores, you know, things that we do around the house. I have said that phrase, just do the work, more times than I care to mention. You know, some days I say it with great patience and calm determination, when I can keep it in my mind that I'm truly helping my child to be a better student and hopefully a better adult someday. But it's also been through clenched teeth with measured irritation and aggravation in my voice. And on occasion, although pretty rare anymore, it has been yelled or screamed, however you want to call it, because frustration has won the battle, and I've lost the battle to my anger. And I'm not proud of it, but I'm not ashamed of it anymore either. Because part of that is because I know how much I've worked to become a better parent, to respond rather than react. Part of that is because I know that dealing with my tendency to become angry is one of those things that's a life lesson for me. And every time I think I've conquered anger, it appears like someone shows me, oh, no, you haven't, because here, I'm gonna do something and you're going to get angry. It's an ongoing theme for me, the whole anger thing. It really is. And I know some of you who deal with me now, they find it harder and harder to believe, but trust me, if you ask my kids, they go, yeah, she struggles with anger. You know, I really do. You know, most days patience wins, and it's great. Occasionally, patience loses, and anger knocks us all for a loop, and after those moments, we regroup, we move on, after an apology on my part to my children. And again, I know some people don't believe in apologizing and asking children for forgiveness, but I truly do. Because I feel like if we want our children to admit their mistakes, we have to do the same thing. If we want our children to be forgiving, we have to be willing to be forgiven. Not we have to forgive, we have to be willing to be forgiven. We have to show them what that's all about. Because kids are bright. They know, well, kids can smell hypocrisy a mile away. And when it's not acknowledged, they resent it. They note it, they see it, they resent it, and they will resent you. And they resent it even more when parents blame them for something they know they're not responsible for. So, yeah, and yes, they do sometimes push our buttons, but, you know, it's our choice. It's our choice. I hate that it's my choice sometimes, but it is. And what's amazing is when you take that responsibility on, things change. And it amazes me how some people refuse to take that responsibility. They have become professional victims. Such a difficult time admitting that they may have made a mistake or that they may have been able to do something better. It's as if they lose a piece of their soul if they admit being wrong. I don't know if that's typically an American thing. I don't know. I'm pretty good at admitting I'm wrong. Sometimes I admit I'm wrong when I'm not. I've gone the other way sometimes. You know, and we do have this in my family. I live with all males. And so, you know, the whole alpha male thing, nobody ever wants to be wrong about anything. And, you know, I've had to look at my family members, grown and not grown, and tell them they need to look me in the eye and say the words, I was wrong, and I apologize. And the other thing is, I don't tell them they have to tell me they're sorry, because most of the time they're not. I don't want them to lie to me. I think there's a difference between apologizing and being sorry for something. And the difference to me is that when you do something, when you find out you're wrong about something, you can apologize without ever being sorry for it. You know, I was married before, and my first marriage ended in divorce. And, you know, I've made lots of mistakes between that and lots of other things in between. You know, I think my former husband and I would both say that being married to each other for a lifetime would have not have been healthy for either one of us. A lot of people would have said, oh, so your first marriage was a mistake. I don't even call it that. And I'm not sorry for it. In truth, I'm glad that it happened because it taught me everything I wanted in a marriage by showing me what didn't work for me. And what works for me doesn't work for everybody else. I certainly know that because I've always said I want to be that. Obviously, I'm not married to the man I originally married because he and I didn't agree on what that meant. So, you know, I always said I wanted to be part of a couple that would walk down the beach holding hands even after 50 years of marriage. And I have that marriage now. I truly do. I never would have had that marriage with my former husband. So, no, I'm not sorry for the marriage or even the breakup because we're both better for it. It was not the best choice for my whole life. And maybe it was a mistake. I don't know. But it's not one I'm sorry that I made because it taught me so, so very much. Yeah, Casey's right. She's like, kids have a kooky way of knowing if you mean something or not. Yeah, they know when you're serious. And hopefully that's not because you've got that anger in your voice. Sometimes they know just because you do remain calm and you can look at them and they know you're serious. You know, what's really interesting is that talking about being sorry is so many people, you know, talking about do your bucket list and all that kind of stuff. And you'll only regret the things you didn't do. And, you know, and on some level, I disagree with that. Because I am sorry for the person that I used to be. And I'm sorry that I may have hurt people who didn't deserve to be hurt. I was mean. Oh, gosh, I was mean back in my early 20s. Very judgmental. Very judgmental. And I said some not nice things about people. You know, and I'm sorry for not knowing then what I know now about the human condition and how much easier it is to improve the human condition and how much more rewarding that is than tearing it apart. And that's where my passion lies now, making the world a better place. And I intend to do that in several ways. You know, first, I work on myself, and I do that within my family. I strive every day to be a better wife to my husband, a better mother to my children, and a better citizen of this world. You know, everybody gets their own way. Now, I've said before, I also have a friend. We're very different. She's very wealthy. I live modestly. I have everything I need. There's plenty more I want, but I have everything I need. She has pretty much everything she wants as well. But you know what? I get tired of people being ripped on because they're wealthy, because you know what? This woman gives more than anybody I know. She gives more money. She gives time. She gives effort. I learned from her, you know, because I said to her, you know, we're the same age. We're just a few months apart, a couple months apart. Actually, we're about 6 to 8, 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks apart in age. And, you know, she's much thinner than I am. She looks fantastic. Now, some of that is she's enhanced a little bit in some ways. She has the lovely, not her fingernails, and she gets manicures, and she has always made no bones about the fact that her hair color has come out of a box or a bottle or whatever. She's okay with it. You know, but I learned to take care of myself through her. Walking, eating better, sleeping better. You know, even on vacation, when the two of us were on vacation, she was ready for bed by 10 o'clock most nights. And so was I, thank goodness. So, but, you know, I think that's a form of redemption, taking good care of yourself, making healthy choices. For me, that means eating organic as much as possible. It's at least trying to garden. I got to go out there and that jungle that I call a garden out there. It's got a little crazy the last week or so. You know, I've just begun composting. I'm new to that. So I got myself a little composter, and it's been very interesting learning all that, and it's amazing how much stuff you can put in there. We're not going to go too far into composting because it's really not what the show's about today, but, you know, I recycle. I take care of the earth, and, you know, it's funny, the Pope even put something out about climate change today, and I don't know if it's so much about climate change, but I just wish everyone would realize this is our home, and the better care that we take, the better off we're going to be. Just picking up, you know, walking around and seeing people with trash in their yard, you know, I just want to look at people and go, just pick up the trash in your yard. It's amazing. Ooh, Casey was saying she loves to compost. You and I need to talk, girlfriend, in private about. I understand there's a lot of things you can compost that you don't really realize you can, so I need to talk to you about that. But anyway, like I said, story for another day. But, you know, one of the other ways I intend to redeem myself, if you will, is helping young moms. When I was a young mom, I felt like, oh, it was a different era. I mean, I say that. It was, you know, when I became a mom, it was over 20 years ago. And the moms, you know, it was pretty formulaic as how we raised our, how kids were raised. And, you know, my husband wasn't raised all that much differently than I was. But it's just amazing to me that, yeah, there's such a huge difference in parenting. And yes, I know some of it is reality television gone wild. But, you know, my want to support young moms was why I started the Better Living Daily Facebook page. You know, I want to support all people. You know, I've talked about affirmations before, and that is really one of the affirmations that I have, that I try to live by, is that I try to be kind, loving, and supportive to everyone, especially my family members, in positive and uplifting ways. And that's the way that I do that. It's the reason I wrote the 101 Parenting Tips book. It's the reason I blog. It's the reason I'm writing another book on motherhood. It's the reason I eventually want to speak to groups of moms through my books, through online products like seminars and YouTube videos, whatever way I can to communicate with moms, to support them in the journey of raising the next generation of hopefully kind, compassionate children who become adults who love our planet. And that's, you know, I agree with Casey. We need to take better care of our planet, you know, and it can be done. And we don't need to do it through condemning capitalism, condemning free market, condemning whatever. I think we're so much better if we just take a kid out in the garden and teach them how to make their own food in the dirt. I mean, that's a much better way of handling it. You know, and finally, I've kind of adopted a new mantra, which is simply, be kind. It's amazing how those two words, I think, could solve so many of the problems in this world. You know, ask yourself, is it kind? You know, I posted something the other day on my personal Facebook page about said something about you can't make people love you, so just go ahead and live your life and be happy. And that can be read in a couple of different ways to me. It can be very flippant, like, you know, that screw you kind of attitude. And I used to have that attitude. But you know what? What you give is what you get. So I want people to be kind to me. So I'm kind to people. You know, I've talked to people about, you know, they go to a certain store and they're like, oh, those people there are so nasty. They're so mean. They're so this. And I'm like, never really had that problem there. It's amazing what a little kindness will buy you. You know, it really will. It's, you know, you look at the earth and you think, okay, is what I'm about to do kind to the earth, or is it going to destroy something? You know, we just got rid of yesterday a bunch of paint. Well, I found out that there's a charity right up the road from me that accepts paint because they mix it all together and they put it in schools that are, or other organizations that rely on government money where they can't get money to paint. So they mix up these colors, and sometimes it ends up brownish or gray or whatever, but they'll accept the paint. I thought, what a cool idea. The only thing I have left downstairs now is some white paint, and I have uses for that for the next couple of months while we're on summer break. And, you know, then I have two empty paint cans now because of mixing some of the paint together that I can now put in the trash. And it is exactly what they tell you to do. They're all latex paints anyway. So, you know, and it doesn't harm the earth. You know, it's being kind to the earth. It's being kind to yourself. It's stop looking at yourself in the mirror, telling yourself how bad you look. For once, find one thing to compliment yourself on. You know, like even if it's your eyes, your beautiful eyes, you know, whatever it is. So. And I agree, Erin, there's way too little kindness in the world these days, so I'm doing my best to put more in there. And I'm down to 60 seconds. That went faster than expected. It always does, doesn't it? To those of you who are in the chat room, thanks for being here today. I really appreciate it. And for those who are listening live elsewhere or listening on the archives, I appreciate you as well. So let's just put more kindness in the world. Toward everyone, and especially toward ourselves, because if we can't give it to ourselves, we can't truly give it to anybody else. So, anyway, I love you all. Have a great week, and I will see you next Thursday. Have a good one, everybody.